You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and I have the pleasure of releasing some great information with an amazing guest who has been a representative and someone who has fought diligently for the right to fly. I'd like to welcome Dr. Michael Singer. Welcome, sir.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, sir, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you very much for your time. It seems like you have been in this fight for a long time, and we really do appreciate your time.
Well, for a court case, it's actually gone rather quickly, and I was pleased with that. I assume that the city of Newton is also happy with it. I filed the initial complaint in January, and here we are in September with the court's decision.
And I think that is really awesome, and you are 100% right. It is quite a quick timeline for a federal case. And for those of you who are listening, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Singer versus City of Newton case. The City of Newton, Massachusetts, was trying to inhibit drone flights over the city itself. And Dr. Singer was the one who fought the case. He's been in this fight for a long time, and we have a lot to thank him for. But yesterday, we received a decision on this case. So Dr. Singer, what started or preempted you to essentially say, you know what, this is not okay, and I want to be the guy who fights the city of Newton, who's trying to limit drone flights as a whole?
Well, my background is as a physician scientist. So I went to medical school, and I was also trained as a PhD scientist. And I've had a career in starting and building small companies that develop healthcare technology. And some of these have been in the area of telemedicine, which, as you know, has to do with finding ways to diagnose and treat patients from a distance. And so far, this has mostly been a matter of telecommunications, but I'm sure you can appreciate that unmanned aircraft are going to provide a whole new dimension to deliver healthcare services to patients, including emergency services. This has been something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and late last year, I purchased a couple of fairly high-end drones to start to do some research and development. Only to find out about 2 weeks later that the city had passed an ordinance that it had been mulling for some time. The ordinance had a number of sensible provisions in it, prohibiting things like assaulting people or reckless behavior or peering into obviously private places like a person's bedroom. And I have no quarrel with that, and I did not challenge those provisions of the ordinance. But there are other provisions in the ordinance that I think anyone who uses unmanned aircraft would be rather alarmed by. So what were those? The first was that the city imposed a registration requirement on anybody who owned a drone in the city, including children, and that required them to furnish even more information to the city than required to furnish to the FAA, depending on their commercial status. It also required payment of a $10 fee. You can imagine, as I do in the future, when drones are actually able to fly over longer distances in a commercial capacity, if a drone flies over 10 different towns, it would be absurd if that drone had to register individually with all 10 towns. And perhaps if the drone were diverted in a different direction, because of a change in mission or a change in weather, the mission could be affected because the drone hadn't registered with a particular town below. Another aspect of the ordinance was a visual line of sight rule that the city imposed that was different and substantially more restrictive than the rules under Part 107, for example. And then finally, probably the most concerning issues were a pair of rules that essentially banned the navigation of drones over the city of Newton. So the first part of these rules required express permission from the city before flying over any city property. This, of course, includes city streets, which belong to the city. And that rule extended all the way up to space. There was no limit on the altitude in that rule. This was coupled by another rule dealing with flying over private property. In that case, the city said that flying over private property at any altitude below 400 feet required permission from each landowner. So when you consider that Part 107 requires a drone to remain below 400 feet, at or below 400 feet generally, the city of Newton essentially had created a rule that when combined with the FAA rule made it impossible to navigate over private land without permission of each landowner. So in tandem, this private land and public land rule made it very difficult for any drone to operate, particularly for a commercial drone operating over an intermediate or long distance. I understand that we don't have a federal regulatory regime yet that makes the longer distance missions possible, but I'm trying to think about where we'll be in 5 to 10 years.
I think that's really smart, and I think that's a great way to look at things. So in your case was decided yesterday. You fought these ordinances, and what was the end result for those who may not understand wholeheartedly what effect this will have on city ordinances currently, but also planned city ordinances outside of Newton in the future?
Sure. So a little bit about the lawsuit. I've outlined the four aspects of the ordinance that were challenged. And the basic premise of the case was that these were preempted by federal law. Those the two parts of federal law would be the Federal Aviation Act that empowers the Federal Aviation Administration with certain exclusive powers, and the FAA Modernization and Reform Act of 2012. Which, as you know, instructed the FAA to integrate unmanned aircraft into the national airspace system. So with respect to each of those four points in the ordinance that I challenged, the court found that those four points were preempted by federal law based on the concept of conflict preemption. And there are a variety of different kinds of preemption. Conflict preemption means that there's essentially irreconcilable conflict between the local ordinance and the federal law, or that the local ordinance frustrates Congress's purpose enacting the federal law. So those four components of the ordinance were declared preempted and unlawful, and the implication is, first of all, the precedent is not binding precedent. So someone, for example, encountering a similar issue in New Jersey or Nebraska, cannot take this decision and apply it as binding precedent. But it might have persuasive value for people who are in similar situations. And the court's decision can provide an outline for how other courts might think about a similar situation.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, I think that the fact that now that there is case law to back up the preemption may inhibit future cities from creating any city ordinances. But do you think, and I think a question a lot of people are really wondering, do you think that city ordinances will still be created? And my other question with that is, can other cities still create ordinances that don't go against the preemption, meaning can cities still prohibit takeoff and landing from certain areas?
Well, one of the reasons this area is so challenging is that we live in a system where there are essentially two parallel systems of law. We have federal law and we have state law. Municipal laws, of course, derive from powers vested in the state. And aviation is a field that is historically reserved for federal law, but drones do have many implications that affect matters that are traditionally part of state law. And those are privacy and nuisance and various issues like that. Of course, responsible operators don't engage in invasions of privacy or nuisance, but states and cities have legitimate concerns about that. There are irresponsible people who occasionally use drones and violate those principles that are under the umbrella of state law. So we're really dealing, I think, with two separate sets of issues, one that was really the province of federal law and one that is state law. So it's important to realize that this is not the first time we've run into this issue. There were very similar arguments happening about 100 years ago when aviation was really in its infancy, powered flight. And I envision that we will need some kind of state law that makes it clear that certain kinds of activities, such as invasion of privacy, are prohibited. Now, in Massachusetts, we already have a statute that prohibits invasions of privacy. And my view is that if a person were to use a drone to spy on somebody, for example, that they've already violated that statute. But if we want to find a consistent nationwide solution, I think the answer might be to develop a nationwide model drone law that covers these issues that really won't have any impact on responsible operators, but addresses some of the concerns that states and cities have. On the other hand, issues that really have to do with flight operations, licensing, registration, and so forth, really should remain, I think, within the strict and uniform control of the federal government and the experts of the Federal Aviation Administration.
I agree 100%. And I, based off your last comment, I have two questions for you. So do you think that this case law and the precedent that you have set will have any effect on states like North Carolina who have attempted, or they haven't attempted, they have created their own statewide registration, their own statewide drone licensing, and their own statewide drone permitting?
It's difficult to see. I mean, to say you can predict that this might give pause to states and cities that are thinking about imposing registration requirements, for example. You can also expect that there might be some backlash to this, and that even Congress will consider more legislation. And as we're all aware, that this Drone Federalism Act is something that's been proposed and being discussed in the Senate. So there is historical precedent for registration of aircraft by states, and I don't have an opinion on that. I really don't want to enter into that question, but I think we can all agree that it's not feasible to have city by city and town by town registration of unmanned aircraft. I live probably about 60 seconds from the border of another town, and I think I calculated that within 3 minutes or 4 minutes, a drone flying at the maximum speed under regulation could reach five different municipalities from my home. So it's really impractical to have city by city registration.
I agree 100%, and I think the Drone Federalism Bill is one that should be shot down. I know you don't want to use that term for anything else that has happened, but I think that the Federalism Bill should be nullified as soon as possible, because I think that it would actually create this situation that you've essentially tried to avoid this whole time, which is this patchwork of framework for UAV laws from city to city, state to state, and even county to county. But I want to backtrack really quick before I lose the thought. You mentioned that you think that there should be a federal law or federal system pertaining to privacy and the use of UAVs. And I agree with you, but my question to you, and I think this is a good question to ask and for other people to think about, is how do you go about that? Because we already know the FAA leaked on Twitter a couple weeks ago that new airworthiness certificates are going to be coming out for drones, that UAVs will have essentially their own airworthiness certificates. But my question is, when it comes to implementing some sort of rule with privacy with drones, do you think that there is an important way to go about that? And I bring up, i.e., intent, because I think that it's easy for a lot of people to say there was a drone flying over my property and maybe they're a little paranoid and, you know, an operator could get in trouble by simply that homeowner calling the police and saying, hey, this guy flew over my property. He's invading my privacy. And I think one thing that's really important to discuss is intent. How could you prove that that operator actually had intent and wasn't simply doing a mapping mission of a local construction project?
Right. So to back up, what I was envisioning for privacy and other matters that are traditionally under state law was a model drone act that would be drafted by a set of legal scholars and adopted state by state, by state legislatures. And there's precedent for this before the Federal Aviation Act and the Air Commerce Act. There was a model aeronautics law that was developed and adopted state by state. Eventually, the federal government decided that for safety's sake, aeronautics needed to be regulated at a federal level. But something like this, I wouldn't say federal necessarily, but a uniform law. As for this question of when are invasions of privacy actually occurring, I think we need to educate the public and make clear that flying a drone over property does not constitute spying on the property. You know, people can use microphones and hidden microphones to spy on people. They can use telescopes and binoculars. They can even use airplanes and helicopters to spy on people. But we don't outlaw those items, and we don't restrict their use simply because we suspect that they're being used to spy. Instead, we outlaw spying. We outlaw invasions of privacy. And I think that that's where the laws need to be directed, not to overflight or transit through airspace.
I agree 100%. It was just something I wanted to touch on because I think it's important, especially for people to hear about privacy. And I mean, privacy was a little bit of the fear that kind of drove this city ordinance. At least that's what it seems like.
Well, that's right. I mean, what we're dealing with is this issue that people have the sense that in their backyards, behind a fence, it's wrong for people to see what's happening back there. I mean, if I could summarize it, that's what I've heard most people say. And of course, we all know that a Cessna can fly over 1,000 feet above ground level, and with a telephoto lens can take some pretty detailed pictures, and that would be perfectly legal. A helicopter can even fly closer, and there's been Supreme Court precedent on this. So it's really kind of an illusion that people have privacy in the open spaces of their backyards. But still, it's a concept that's very deeply ingrained in the American psyche. And so I think that's been a reason why there's been some confusion. It doesn't help when there are these, you know, very rare instances of irresponsible drone operators out there who inevitably get attention on YouTube and on the news. And, you know, I think that also makes a negative impression on the public's view of unmanned aircraft.
I agree 100%, and I think it's important for people to understand what a reasonable right to privacy is as well and the definition therein. And I give the example of, I know we're switch tracking here, but I give the example of the New York City photographer who was shooting photos through other apartments' open windows, essentially, and they ruled that it was not an invasion of privacy because the person had opened up their shutters / blinds, and that they essentially had eliminated the reasonable right to privacy, which is just a whole nother animal in itself. And really, to get back on track, you know, there's a couple questions and a lot of misleading information out there. And I know we've kind of touched on this, but I just want to make it absolutely clear that people understand that what you have done does set the federal precedent for the how do I say this, the approval or the validation of the preemption, and that I always give the preemption memo to city councilors who are trying to pass drone law, which is happening here in New Mexico. I know it's happening in Breckenridge, Colorado. And one thing that was written in the Forbes article today by John Golia, I always mess up his name, was that a lot of cities have been waiting to hear the reaction, the decision from your case to move further on setting city ordinances for drone law. So my question to you is, what sort of city ordinances could still be passed that would be legal and not be nullified by this preemption that essentially you just validated?
So to take a step back, this case was decided in the District of Massachusetts. It's only, my understanding is, because I'm not a lawyer, is that it's only binding in cases in Massachusetts, federal cases in Massachusetts. It has some persuasive value in other districts, but it's not binding. And I think that what John was referring to is that other cities understand that the court's analysis in this case, it could inform how other courts see it. And so I think it was pretty rational for those cities to wait and see the decision. And frankly, I appreciate it. I mean, I think that's a very thoughtful way to try to get input from the courts as well as from technical and aviation and industry personnel. To answer the second part of your question, there's a variety of rules that cities and towns could try to institute. You know, federal courts are courts that only decide controversies, and so that means that they'll look at the facts of a dispute between two parties and decide those particular questions. But they don't offer advisory opinions that necessarily solve broader questions at hand. So we have to try to extrapolate from what this decision said, but. I suppose if you asked me to do that, I would say that it looks pretty clear if this decision were replicated elsewhere that a city or town cannot absolutely prohibit flight of a drone in the airspace over the city or part of the city without some other good reason. Okay, so what those reasons might be, I don't want to speculate, but there are some cities and towns where there are wholesale bans on overflight, and I think that those are likely to be preempted. There's also this issue of registration. I think city and town registration doesn't make any sense, and it's hard to see how that would fit within the ruling that we have before us. Again, assuming that the thought process in that ruling is replicated in other districts.
I think it's safe to
go ahead.
I think it's safe to assume that your case will set the precedent for other cities that are trying to inhibit flight over their city, because this essentially is now the case law saying that the preemption of the FMRA of 2012 is valid. Cities and states cannot prohibit flight over their towns, cities, public airways whatsoever, that is the express authority of the Federal Aviation Administration. But where I was trying to go with that is that I believe, and I correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that cities and states could inhibit where you take off and land from.
My personal opinion on that question was not addressed in this case. The Newton Ordinance does have a provision that requires a permit or permission from the Park Service, the local Park Service, before taking off or landing on park land in the city. And I didn't challenge that. My personal view is that it was valid. Just as you and I have a right to determine how our land is used, the city has a right to determine how its land is used. And, you know, actually placing a drone on that land or standing on that land and operating a drone is using the city's land. So it's pretty clear to me that those kind of restrictions are reasonable.
I think that you're right, and I think that there are security issues at hand and why that validates what you said. And I think that people should know that you can be inhibited from taking off and landing from any particular land because it is a land use issue. But when it comes to using the rights of the air or the airspace, that again, that is expressly authorized by the Federal Aviation Administration. So I think that's just important for people to know and why I wanted to reiterate that with you, Dr. Singer. But I just want to say thank you very much for coming on the show, for explaining exactly what has happened in your lawsuit. I know it's an astronomical cost to go about this federal lawsuit, and I know I'm sure you've spent a lot of money in even just the filings themselves. So thank you for standing up for the drone industry. Thank you for being a proponent to keep the skies clear, as you would say.
Well, thanks for having me, and I think my parting message to your listeners would be this is one case where we had an adversarial encounter with the city, but I hope that the result will have the opposite effect in other cities and towns, and that it will prompt people to sit down and have rational and scientifically informed discussions.
I agree 100%. I think this is great, and I hope it has a ripple effect across other city ordinances. And I'm just glad that the precedent has been set, that we have validated that the FAA's authority is real. We validated that the preemption clause is real from the FMRA. And I really hope it does create city ordinances. Well, I hope it doesn't create any city ordinances, actually, but I hope it does create, like you said, a rational conversation, one that can be based on facts and not opinions, and not based out of fear, but again, based on, who has authority to what. So, Dr. Singer, thank you again. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Take care.
You too. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Again, thank you for listening. If you have a question, go to AskDroneU.com and upload that question. And don't be afraid to give Dr. Singer a shout out on Facebook to say thank you, because he has done a big, big thing for our industry. And again, that's going to do it for us today, guys. My name is Paul, and you're listening to Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sound have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.